So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
I am dying right now. This is hilarious. Okay. So it is the feast day of St. John the Baptist, and earlier this week, Kendra Tierney from Catholic All Year joined us. Great conversation about how to bring the Catholic faith and make it live and real day to day. And she talked about how to celebrate the feast day of St. John the Baptist, who's known for eating locusts and wild honey. And so she said one great thing to do in your home is to have this locust challenge. So, she said one place you can get the locusts, the grasshoppers, is if you go to the Mexican grocery store. Lo and behold, our producer Patrick here at Relevant Radio, he couldn't find some locusts. But Patrick, you did find something else that you're substituting out, and I'm not sure how I feel about this. What'd you find?
Timory, yes, I bought fried anchovies.
Why fried anchovies?
It's something, you know, it's not grasshoppers, it's not locusts, but I was like, I need to get something for the experience.
Okay, we're going to get to our marriage hour in just a minute here, but are you willing to try these on air? Have you ever had anchovies?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay, Lucas is dying. Neither of us, I mean, do they smell bad? Have you smelled it yet?
It's not that bad.
Oh.
On the contrary, the studio is stinking up right now.
It's not that bad.
Okay, fried anchovies. Are you going to go for it?
Yeah.
Hold on. But does Lucas at least have like a honey stick? Because the whole thing Kendra Tierney said is if you're going to eat the grasshopper, you get the honey stick after.
Oh, see, I didn't hear that part. I'll just get my yogurt like I usually do, whatever.
Okay, by the way, if you don't know this, Patrick is known for eating things during the show. So here he goes. He's eating the anchovy right now. I'm watching him. And he's going for a second one. It's crunchy. Third one.
It's not that bad. Maybe I'll put in my yogurt.
Okay, I'm done. A happy feast day of St. John the Baptist. The Nativity. Great way to celebrate with some fun challenges in the home. Lucas, does the studio still smell?
It's slowly dissipating.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, now that we reek of anchovies and we're maybe grateful for no crispy grasshopper legs. No PETA here. No reporting to us to PETA. I hope you're not an animal lover or a cricket lover or a fish lover for that matter. Anyways, welcome to our weekly marriage hour here on Trending. Diving in everything from Free Britney. Are you pro Free Britney? Because I am. In fact, we actually talked quite a bit about freeing Britney a couple months ago. Lucas, let's post a link to that show on social media and we'll put it in the show notes. Because freeing Britney, it's actually really fascinating. Once conservatorship is had, that is where someone else basically takes ownership over your life, making decisions, everything from medical, financial, who you spend time with, if you use social media, how you use it, who drives you in a car. Her life has been under extreme control by her father, Jamie Spears, since 2008. And she has been objecting. Starting with last year, she marched off the stage after a huge, what should have been announcement in Las Vegas that she was going to be performing pretty much every single day, and she's refusing to perform. How does that relate to marriage? Well, we'll talk about it just a little bit. Coming up, we're also going to be joined by celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda. We're going to discuss dealing with rejection and a lot of your questions. So if you have a question, head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect on Instagram at Timory, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, where you can actually ask your comment on my Instagram story or give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We're also going to be talking about this new trend, platonic marriages, sexless marriages. Is this really a trend? Yes, it is. It really is. And I think that we should talk about it because it's something we're going to see a little more often. Who knows? Perhaps you'll have a son, daughter, or friend who decides they would like to enter into a platonic marriage. They're besties. Why can't they be married? Also known, yes, as times as Josephite marriage. We're not so much going to get into the Josephite marriage side of things, but why is there this trend toward platonic marriages in the culture today? So let's talk for a second about Free Britney. I'm totally pro-Free Britney. And in fact, we've seen high-level congressmen saying that they're getting involved in the crises surrounding Britney Spears and conservatorship. Once granted, often it's not repealed. And this woman is someone who has been making it very clear that she wants out. Now, her father continues to claim that if she wants out at any point, she could, but that's not really how conservatorships work, per se. Now, what's happened is, for the first time since 2019, and there really have only been a couple times where she's spoken out, Jamie Spears spoke to the courts in a 20-minute speech addressing her conservatorship and what she wants. Now, she doesn't want her father to have anything to do with a conservatorship. He has co-conservatorship at this point, and she wants one of the other parties to be the primary conservatorship at this time and not her father. Now, some of the things that came out in her recent testimony is that she claims that she's not being allowed to get rid of an IUD. That, if you don't know what an IUD is, it's a type of contraception. It's an implant. It used to be that it was a copper IUD that was taken off the market for many health risks and reasons, one of which being perforated uteruses happening over and over again for women. Then it was put back onto the market again, both the copper version and the plastic version. Now, when President Trump, Donald Trump, was elected, people were terrified that they were going to lose access to contraception. So they were saying, you better have your IUD implanted, because the great news is that if he lasts two terms, you can have an IUD in for up to about 10 years. So here's part of the issue. The IUD, another one of the questions, was she forced to have the IUD put in? And now why won't her father allegedly not allow her to have the IUD taken out? She's actually gone so far to say that she wants to get married and wants to have a baby. This is sad. When you look at what's happening, I hope we can all pray for this entire situation for Britney Spears and her father. I'm sure there's a lot more than we know and understand. In fact, they're working to make a court proceedings no longer be public as things move forward. But it did make me think about the whole idea of freedom in marriage. Because you're joining us during our weekly marriage hour. We're going to be talking about this new trend toward platonic relationships, platonic marriages in particular, coming up. But as I was thinking about Britney Spears and this conservatorship, I think a lot of people tend to think of marriage almost as a conservatorship. This idea that you have absolutely no freedom. Someone else controls and rules your life, and why would you tie yourself down to this type of control? Why would you leave yourself bound, controlled, manipulated, and almost like a servant? As it seems Britney Spears is being treated. But let's talk about the idea of freeness, and let's talk about the idea of a vow to marriage. You see, under Britney Spears' conservatorship, where her father has this almost sense of ownership, but more so rights to make decisions about legal, health, and other personal decisions, that's not what marriage is. Marriage, you enter into freely. That's one of the fundamental dimensions of marriage. It was the Catholic Church and only the Catholic Church that emphasized that women should be able and have to consent to marriage. It was Catholics, did you know this, that insisted upon consent in marriage. We actually revolutionized marriage because we didn't want marriage to be subservient. We didn't want marriage to be a sense of control, manipulation, or the buying and selling of a human person. And so a woman and a man should each be free. It should be their choice to enter into that marriage. But once they choose to take vows to marriage, they're freely bound to their vows. And when I say freely bound, it's because they freely chose. You see, at the heart of the free choice to be vowed in marriage, we are choosing a person. And in that, this sense of freedom needs to be better understood. Freedom is to choose the good. Freedom has to do with choosing the good both for myself and for my spouse and any children that come about in marriage. You see, St. John Paul II, in his work Love and Responsibility, prior to being Pope, as Carol Votila, he wrote talking about how the only proper attitude to have toward another human person is love. And this is important when we talk about freedom and marriage and vows, because freedom in marriage has to do with the vow, and the vow has to do with choosing yourself and choosing the other person. The two are vowed and bound to one another. You see, you may be free, but that doesn't mean that you can put another person and turn them into a means to achieve your own end and your own desires. You see, when you choose marriage, when you choose to enter into a covenantal marriage, you choose the other person. And your happiness on an existential level, on the level of existence, on the level of your spirit, is intimately bound up with that other person. Freedom has to do with good and should inform your choices in marriage. In sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, in richer or poorer, we are bound by the sacrament. You see, this is the great thing about marriage, is that not only do we freely choose it, but with that freedom allows us to love. But in the sacrament of marriage, Jesus Christ is with us in that freedom. He supplies the graces necessary to achieve and exercise our free choices. He even sends forth his Holy Spirit. The question is, are we predisposed to the Holy Spirit and his promptings? Are we living in a state of grace to receive the graces that God has to bestow upon us in our marriage? How can we get there? Confession, worthy reception of our Lord Jesus Christ in communion, regular praying and pondering of God throughout our daily lives, and examination of conscience will make us more present to Christ in our lives. This is, I think, important for us to ponder, to reject this idea that marriage takes away your freedom. Because marriage in and of itself is a free choice. It's not a conservatorship. It's not what Britney Spears is experiencing. You see, we have to have this greater understanding for the value of our spouse and the commitment that we weren't forced into, but that we chose. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio during our weekly marriage hour. A new trend of sexless marriages. That's right, platonic marriages. We'll be discussing that in just a little bit. Joining me now is our celebrity and royal matchmaker here at Trending with Timory. She is the founder and one of the lead matchmakers at Matchmakers in the City. And you're joining me today, Christina, to talk about rejection and how to deal with it. I think this is a fascinating topic because, you know, you can't really avoid being rejected. So the question is, how do you come to terms with the process of rejection?
Hi, Timory. So good to be with you. Yes. So rejection is part of life. We all, unfortunately, have to go through it, but it actually is a really good thing for us. And it's good for our souls because it makes us more humble. But we don't know that a lot of times, and it's hard to experience the benefits of it initially. So when you're in that rejection place and feeling the pain of it, it's very difficult to remember that this is actually good for you. And it's also really good for you in dating, because it's every closed door gets you closer to the right person for you. And just to give you a small example, the story of one of our bachelors. He was an amazing man, and he just a great guy looking for love, attractive, but he got rejected from his first match. The first woman who we matched him up with was beautiful, smart. She was everything that he was looking for, and he was really upset by that rejection. So then we matched him with more women, and we found that he was using this pattern of going on the first date that we would set him up on, and then doing this pen pal quasi texting relationship with the women after the dates, because he was afraid of getting rejected again, like he did the last time when he asked the woman out to go on another date. So these matches weren't going anywhere. And we finally had one of our matchmakers talk to him and try to get to the bottom of what was going on, because it just didn't seem like, okay, they were both interested in each other, but then the steam, everything would fade because he wasn't asking them out. And he finally acknowledged that, yeah, I just don't want what happened on my first match to happen to me again, and because he had internalized that. And then we finally said, okay, this match who you're texting with right now, it hasn't been too long. You're still texting with her. Just ask her out. And he took our advice. And now he is still dating her. So he got over it, but it's really hard. And you have to, especially as the man who's doing the asking, you have to know that unless you're getting rejected, you're probably doing something wrong because you're not asking enough women out.
What about, like, bring this into something we see often, two things. One, ghosting, and two, catfishing. How do you handle getting a rejection when a lot of people are experiencing both of those things today?
I know. It makes it rejection even more prevalent in our lives, but it's not personal. And that's why it's really difficult to do online dating. And I recommend a 3-tier way of dating without using online dating, because there's so much anonymity that goes in with online dating. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know if the other person on the other side of who you're talking to is actually a real person or catfishing you or serial killer. You have no idea. That's why it's personal matchmaking is a really good route, or meeting people in person. So you have that initial just rapport already built there, and you have the reputation of that person. You already know a little bit, definitely from working with a matchmaker, you already know that this person has been vetted for you. But I know that's the problem with online dating. You have to know it's not personal. And it's also something where you're going to be rejected by the vast majority of people, because there will be one person at the end of your dating journey. Just, you have to kind of get used to it.
Okay, so let's talk about those people who are just afraid of rejection. What are maybe some common things to do to get over that, to help you move forward in your dating game?
Yes, well, I think you can avoid some rejection. And that is knowing the proper way of how to approach women. Men, Timory and I did, our last show that I was on with Timory, we did a whole show on how to approach women the right way without being creepy. That will really help you in this area.
We'll post a link to that on social media now. And we'll also be sure to post a link in the show notes. I mean, we talk about everything from cologne to not being a creeper or creepy. I mean, it's so important. In fact, someone was just writing me yesterday saying that this sparked a conversation, not just among him and friends, but him and his siblings, everything from cologne to being a creep, you name it. It was a great conversation. Let's kind of like dive into this idea, Christina, of how women on the opposite side can work on actually like letting people, like saying no lovingly but firmly, and not like just leading people along.
Yes. And you hear the slow fade comment from a lot of people. If the man isn't asking you out, it's fine to do the slow fade. So little by little, respond less and less frequently. But if he's directly asking you out, it's not time to do the slow fade. You can send a special text that will turn him down lovingly but firmly. The text is this, something like, I had a great time. Thank you. It was so nice to meet you. But I just don't feel that romantic spark that you so deserve with the right woman for you. Anything along those lines, put it in your own words. You're saying, I don't feel that romantic spark. Those are the key words here, because no one can fault you for how you feel. Mm. If you say something like, oh, I just don't have time right now, or that's the common excuse.
I know. Especially, and what's sad is that, you know, a lot of women, and I am calling you out right now, if you're in your 30s, late 20s, going into your 40s, and you're dating and you're having some challenges here, this is one of the challenges I see commonly. Be upfront. Don't drag it on. Don't be vague. Don't say, oh, well, I've got a lot of things going on. Be clear. It creates confusion and it hurts people's feelings. Guys have feelings too, and vice versa.
They do. They do. And a lot of women, yes, men and women are very different, but men do get excited. And if they think there's still that glimmer of hope that, oh, as soon as she submits her thesis, then she'll go on a date with me. So I'm just going, I don't need to go out. I don't need to go into another event. I don't need to ask other women out because she's, I just have to wait a little bit longer. Men get like that too. Believe me, I date coach them.
I learned my lesson once. I really didn't want to go out with someone. And so I think I told him, like, I don't know, maybe in November that I was busy until 2 weeks into January. And like literally on like January 15th out of nowhere, I get a call. I'm like, oh, crap. This 2 month delay didn't quite work. But hey, listen, there are tons of questions coming in. If you have a question, you can give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You're joining us during our weekly Marriage Hour, talking everything from love, dating, relationships, to marriage. And something I want to dive into, and we'll unpack this more. But Marianne commented on Instagram asking, am I being too picky if the guy checks all of the boxes, but there isn't a connection on my end?
Yes, if you haven't given this relation, this match at least 3 dates, you do need to see if the chemistry develops. A first date is never a good test of compatibility or chemistry. Until you feel SRS, you need to continue dating this man. So even after 3 dates, unless you feel that internal SRS is sudden repulsion syndrome. Do you know that, Tamari? Have we talked about that?
No, thank you. No, we should talk about this when we come back.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Go on a little bit more.
Yes. So,
okay, well, SRS- actually, that's my warning. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about severe repulsion syndrome. Is that it, Christina?
Sudden repulsion syndrome.
Sudden repulsion syndrome. This is going to help you know he may check all your boxes. He may be great. He may respect you, respect your body, be a great Catholic man. But what's wrong if it just doesn't work? We have more questions on this. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149 or go to my Instagram to ask a question. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We're back with Christina Pineda here on Trending with Timory during our weekly Marriage Hour. Have you heard about this new trend? A trend toward platonic marriages, sexless marriages. Yes, that is a thing that's happening. Besties getting married. And I'm talking about heterosexual, non-heterosexual, and no definition. We just want to be married and have no sex. We'll talk about that more here in just a minute. But Christina, we're taking tons of questions that have been falling in. Numbers 1-888-914-9149 or ask on my Instagram at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, where we also tag Christina Pineda and her incredible work with her organization Matchmakers in the City. They produce incredible content. And we were just about to talk about what SRS is. Can you share a little bit about this?
Yes. SRS is sudden repulsion syndrome. And that is when, if you're on a date, when you experience, or even after the date, you experience this feeling inside where you'd rather be curled up on your beanbag chair, if you have one at home, than go on another date with this person. It is a visceral feeling of, I never want to see that person again. When you hit that place, only then should you say no to another date with this person.
you mean say that so soon, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's another question, because it comes back to this idea of being too picky. Taylor on Instagram asked, how do you know if you're making the right decision moving on? She said, I met and dated an amazing Catholic man who loved every part of me, honored me, respected me, and was so sweet and genuine in how he treated me. But she couldn't see a future. She said he just couldn't see the future. He would be a great husband, a great provider, all these things that would be great. And one person even talked about how, because this question keeps coming up, like he keeps pursuing, he keeps asking me over and over again. It's almost like he's pressuring into this idea of marriage, but it's just not fitting. And so it's like a psychological mind game, because she said he meets all these requirements, but it's just not there for her. Is this self-sabotage? Is this being too choosy? And what's going on here, and how can she move forward?
Yes. I think that you need to pay attention to. Are you being drawn? Are you feeling drawn to this person at all? Or are you not feeling, or you really don't want to? And that's the, where the SRS comes in. Would you rather be doing other things than go out with this person? And are you experiencing negative feelings when you're around this person? You really need to pay attention to that. And if you really just don't want to spend more time with this person, that's not your fault. You can't help it. It's just, he isn't the right person for you, even though he checks all the boxes.
Yeah. And I'll just add one thing, because we were talking about freedom and marriage at the beginning. You have to go into marriage freely. And if you're feeling like this is forced or pressured in any way, that's a big sign that either he's not the right guy, or maybe there's some sort of wound that could be present from a parental wound, sometimes even low self-esteem. Actually, Christina, often I've heard from a lot of women who, especially as they're getting closer to a proposal or they've accepted a proposal, they're approaching marriage, where all of a sudden self-esteem can become a real big problem going into the next step in marriage. How do you address that?
Right. So we need to, I think working with a Catholic therapist would be the way to go, and also some relationship expert is good too. But you do need to work through those issues and make sure that it's internal rather than issues with the man. For instance, this man does seem like he is pressuring marriage and the woman's not ready for that. But if it could be that situation where the woman is just feeling lack of confidence and then blaming it on the relationship when it really are things that she's been dealing with from her upbringing.
Okay, now this is a separate side note. A lot of girls are dragging men along for a long period of time, rejecting them and crushing their hearts, and it's leaving some men literally to step out of the dating game. And Patrick, our producer, you just commented behind the scenes, like, man, I'm feeling sympathetic for these guys. Like, they're meeting all the requirements and they're getting turned down. So what are some words of hope in this type of situation for men who feel like this is what they're experiencing and they're starting to maybe shy away from dating?
Men, you are doing the right thing in putting yourself out there, in getting to know different women and asking them out. This is what women want of you. They want a man who's direct and talks to them and asks them out. And even though you feel like you're getting rejected over and over again, this is leading you to the right woman who will want to be with you and want that, because a marriage is when two people choose each other and as well as the Lord. So that is what you're getting ready for. But the women in the past haven't been right for you. So don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. It's right around the corner, but you just can't see it.
Okay, Marlena on Instagram is asking, and by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Trending with Timri, heard on Relevant Radio. It's our weekly marriage hour and everything in terms of getting to marriage or being in a marriage. We'll talk about platonic marriages and this new trend in just a minute. But Christina, here's another question from Marlena on Instagram. What are some steps and ways that I as a woman can have a man become interested in me? This is Flirting 101, I guess.
Yes, actually we teach a whole course on Flirting 101. Wonderful.
Come on, well, ladies, married ladies as well.
yes. And it does start with attitude as well as taking stock of your appearance and what you're wearing on your dates, if you're doing your hair, if you're doing your makeup, what perfume you're wearing. All of those things are important, how much time you're getting ready for the date. And if you're exercising, if you're eating healthfully, I always say the journey to love is a mind, body, soul experience. It's not just one of those. It's not just in the mind. It's not just with the body. It's with, not just with the soul. It's with everything. So you need to, it really is an intense process when you want to meet the right person. So definitely take stock of what your daily life is like. If you're being healthy, if you're taking care of your appearance, and if you're primping, because men are physical and visual creatures. So that's important. But then the mind component of it is you want to approach dating in a happy, fun, enjoyable, mysterious, exciting way rather than a job interview or trying to make sure that just being very analytical about it. You want to really enjoy the process. Men will gravitate to you. If you are someone who's warm and inviting and just enjoying the night and vacation dating, that is what men will love. So those are two components that you can work on.
Can you define a little further vacation dating?
Yes, yes. Vacation dating is a concept of when pretending like you're on vacation when you go on any date. And this means you visualize your favorite place in the world, the favorite city at night, I like to say. And you put yourself there, you smell the smells, you see the sights, ask yourself, what are the sights where in my favorite city? And you're going, pretend like you're going on a date with a man who you probably will not see again. But you're going to have an amazing time because you can let your hair down. You can have fun. You can relax. And I don't mean a one night stand. I mean, just enjoying having fun on the date rather than, is he looking at your checklist of, he said this wrong, or he mentioned that he doesn't love dogs. You know how women can be very critical on dates. So instead of being overly critical and analytical, you want to pretend like you're in Rome is my vacation dating city. So I always talk about that. And you want to pretend like you're there and you're out with this Italian man, and who knows, you'll probably never see him again, but you can have an amazing, fun time. There's no pressure, rather than putting pressure on yourself and on the man.
Now we know how Christina got her man. Okay, question that came out here. Your thoughts, Leah on Instagram asked, kissing before dating.
Ooh, I actually advise waiting on kissing for at least a number of dates, even as you're dating the person. So I don't advise dating before you start kissing before you start dating. Definitely not, because you do want to establish that this is you want to date for the purpose of marriage, and not with the pressure, but not just kiss someone and you never know where it's going to lead.
And I think that that's a challenge, Christina. And, like, you know, this question can be so annoying because people, I think, take it to such extremes. But at the same time, like, we live in a culture where men really do look to women to say yes or no. And if you say yes, they take a mile often. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge. Mark Rignaris, in his book Cheap Sex, actually talks a lot about how women are really the gatekeepers ultimately to sex. It's your no that really holds the final line here on this topic. And yet we live in a culture where, and he comments, and this is really like a vulgar, but where we basically become pieces of meat rubbing up against each other, because that's how quick things escalate when we don't even know each other. We don't have any interaction. We don't have the sense of trust, responsibility, love, care. I mean, it's so far off. And, you know, this question of what about kissing before dating? I think that we do have to draw some of these extremes, because that's what the culture takes so quickly with these one-night stands and the pressure that the culture is under in a pornographic society. So I do like that advice. And this is something, Christina, that you advise to religious and non-religious celebrity and royal clients as well, right?
Yep, everyone. It's the same. We're all the same with this stuff, and men are the same. If, as you said, women hold the power, but women are often afraid if they don't, the guy asks them to kiss and they say no, then the guy won't be there anymore. Good. You don't want him there if he's only looking for that.
That's a good man. Patrick's so sweet. I'm outing him right now. He said, I think kissing should come after saying I love you. Okay, Instagram question from Robin. What advice would you give to a widow who is looking to leave mourning behind and find love?
Oh, yes. We do actually work with quite a few widows and widowers. And I think that if you've done the work to really heal as much as possible from your past relationship, and if you feel like you're ready to just jump in and to work with a matchmaker, to start dating, to start getting to know different men and putting yourself out there more, going to different events, enjoying yourself, definitely. It's a great idea.
I just have a couple of thoughts. Sometimes I think there's this idea of forcing it. Cultivate your existing relationships, but don't shut the doors to other people. Leave it to prayer. Do things that you love and give of your time, whether that's giving of your time in your family or volunteer opportunities. You know, when you're joyful and happy, that attracts other joyful and happy people. And I spent a lot of time, God's blessed me with a lot of incredible widows in my life, married and non-married, who I've been around. And I've seen both places, but what's been so important is finding that joy and happiness and content mindset with themselves. And God has incredible plans. Leave it in his hands. A call from Greg in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's asking, if you're not married and trying to figure out if you like someone, why not live with them? What is the best way to address this from a Catholic perspective?
Oh, actually, Timory and I talked about cohabitation on our last show as well. So that's definitely one that you'll want to listen to. But
I know post it in the show notes for sure and on social media now.
Great. It sounds like the next step, like the logical next step. You'll get to know more about the other person, but it is a bad idea. And Timory actually talked about this on one of her other shows too, that it puts you in this perpetual crisis mode of the relationship, where you hit from the honeymoon, where you're, when you're dating, you don't really know everything about the person. And then you get to that crisis mode when you live together. And if you get married, it would be after that. Or if you live together, you're going to be in crisis mode too early. And a lot of relationships never leave that place. And the things that you deal with in living together are usually not deal breakers. They're maybe, this person doesn't keep the bathroom like I like to keep the bathroom. And they end up just piling up, and you might explode from all these little things, and it's just not a good idea. Listen to that show and listen to Timory. Can you post your other show of the Archbishop Fulton Sheen one? Because that was really good.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, Lucas will find that now, post on social media. We're putting Lucas to work in social media here and on the board. You can head to my Twitter at Timory, TimmeriE, where we'll post this. But also, we post all of these links today in the show notes. You can find the podcast and subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending. Question from Sue on Instagram. Top tip for parents as their kids start to date.
Oh wow. Especially, it depends on what age the children are.
Let's assume high school. We're just going to assume this.
Okay.
That's my guess in this context.
Oh, this is so hard. I would say chaperone.
Okay, I'll let you gather your thoughts for a moment, because I can tell you're like, oh no, you're used to working with adults. While you ponder this high school dating crisis as a new mom, and you're probably not liking this idea. I think that with having worked with a lot of teens in this dating sphere, I think that being really transparent and honest about how the secular side of social sciences match up with our theology. So you don't necessarily have to throw theology at them right away, depending on where they're at and if they're ready. I think it's important. Theology of the body, all of that is fantastic. But we see chastity, STDs, babies, social pressure. All of these topics are very relevant in something that teenagers are dealing with day in and day out. So by regularly talking about sexually transmitted diseases, teen pregnancy, you know, having these like frank, regular conversations really helps to influence high school dating life quite a bit. In helping to make sure that, you know, your kids have good peers and role models where they see examples of dating as well, just a little older than them, I think is something very important. And unfortunately, you know, we've seen a lot of teenagers tend to tune out adults and really listen to their peers. And so having peers who are a little older than them, who set a good example, is, I think, another really great, helpful thing. So I'm coming at it right now from this influence perspective. But in terms of kind of top tip for the kids actually dating, Christina, what would you say?
I think also you were saying the open communication with the parents as well is really important, that they feel like they can talk and they don't have to hide things, because that's going to be very important with difficult issues that come up with dating. Oh yeah. I think that's all I can say, Timory, because I don't want to advise. I hope Austin becomes a priest. Can't.
You know what? My husband, Gabriel's been praying for a baby girl early on in the pregnancy that she would become a nun. And then someone told him, well, you'll never see her. And so he's not quite been praying for her to become a nun. But he was like praying for that for like a solid 8 months of the pregnancy until someone said it. But here's, I think, another couple thoughts I have on teen dating. Cell phones and constant communication is a huge problem, not just for teenagers, but for adults, from pornography to sexting. Not allowing your kid to have their phone at night, helping them to have integrity and boundaries in terms of how much they communicate is really, really important. Spending time 24/7 together, texting 24/7 is not helping to build chaste relationships. And so really working with boundaries and self-control and technology is so important. I think that this is one of the greatest challenges today that's influencing teen dating and intimacy occurring too soon beyond, of course, you know, time alone, idle time, doing nothing. So those are some top tips. If you have specific questions, you can always reach out and ask us again, relevantradio.com/trending, the contact page. That's been Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City here on Trending with Timory. You can find her at matchmakersinthecity.com. I've also tagged her on Twitter and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. More questions, as always, she'll be back with us again in a couple of weeks. And I'll be back discussing how platonic marriages are trending right now.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
There's so much I want to talk about. I was going to take a couple questions regarding fertility in marriage. They're great questions, everything to do with challenges surrounding having had C-sections and doctors advising not to have more children, to also dealing with fear of intimacy after having just had a baby, and geriatric moms. I am so sick and tired of hearing about geriatric moms. I'm sorry. But medical professionals are scaring women out of having children when they're like 30 years old. Are you kidding me? They're scaring women out of having children when they're 35 years old. Yes, the older you get, having children can be more challenging and more exhausting. But I'm sick of anti-life, pro-abortion doctors who believe in population control and small family sizes telling women about how they're going to be geriatric moms. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I'll talk about it tomorrow because I'm running out of time today. So stay tuned because you will hear not only this soapbox, but I think it's something we really, really need to talk about. And we'll also be talking about other medical influences, negative influences on women and their future. But here's the deal. There's a new trend. Have you heard it? Have you heard about this? Oh, my Lanta. From best friends to platonic spouses. The New York Times. Some people are taking their friendships to the next level by saying I do to marriage without you know what. What is going on? What is going on? Okay, I'm not going to talk about Josephite marriages because that's a thing. What I'm going to talk about is that besties are choosing to get married. Okay, listen. When I was in college, when I was working in student life, I remember, this is actually in grad school, there were a couple of undergraduate students who said they were going to enter into a civil union so that they could get a Costco membership together. Friends with benefits, okay? But we don't need all the benefits today, apparently. All you need is a Costco membership. Now, they might have just been two really naive and dumb college students because you don't have to be married in order to share Costco membership, FYI. But this is a thing. And I want to talk about it because it's just, it's where we're at. And you may end up having a child or a friend, or know of someone who goes through this. Number one, platonic marriages being the new thing is not surprising. Why? Because third wave feminism says that men and women are the same, they're interchangeable, they're replaceable, and they want to destroy marriage. Because third wave feminism views marriage as degrading and sexist, and it shows that there's a difference between the sexes. So third wave feminism, the pro-abortion movement, who are radical feminists, have been all about same-sex marriage, the LGBTQ agenda, and now platonic marriages, so-called marriages. So it's very important to understand this because radical feminists want to destroy marriage. It's not just about abortion. It's not just about LGBTQ agenda. It's about destroying any differences between men and women. It's about destroying any institution of marriage. This, my friend, is the result of taking sex out of marriage and taking babies out of sex. Marriage loses its meaning. Marriage becomes unintelligible to people when we take sex out of marriage and babies out of sex. We've got to be really, really clear about this. You see, this New York Times article talking about marriages between besties, or as I mentioned, civil unions for Costco memberships, that's just really dumb, okay? You can get a Costco membership and not be married, okay? I just want to be really clear here in case you were confused and you were thinking about going for it, but not going for it, apparently, since platonic marriages are the new deal. You know, men, I would love to hear what you really think about this. I'm sorry, honey, just so you know, I said yes to getting engaged, but we're going to have a platonic marriage. I'm all about besties getting married. Okay, I'm going to behave now because, yes. So here's the reality. Marriage regulates intimacy between a husband and a wife. Marriage regulates babies and creates a safe environment for babies. And marriage protects women. That's very, very important for us to recognize. It regulates intimacy between spouses in society. It protects and preserves babies having the right, the natural born right to their mother and their father present in their lives, and it protects women. Why? Well, intimacy between a man and a wife results in children. It results in soul ties. It results in chemical bonds. You know, someone was asking earlier, they asked a question about how do you talk and address the topic of kids dating? Help them to understand oxytocin, serotonin, norepinephrine, endorphins, and all of these chemicals and hormones that occur during intimacy because they bind two people together on a chemical cocktail that is very intense and draws two people together in a way that is meant to be only in marriage for the protection, preservation, and strengthening of marriage. It's meant for marriage. Babies need their moms and dads together, and women deserve to be respected and protected so they are not just left alone and single with a child, but they are well cared for, nourished, and supported and loved in the raising of children. This is what marriage is all about, and platonic, so-called bestie marriages, it is a travesty to call that marriage. Intimacy binds people together. It's good for the spouses and for the procreation education of children. It's so important that we are talking about this and saying it over and over again because we are at a point in third wave feminism from the sexual revolution on where we took babies out of sex, sex out of marriage, and we no longer understand what marriage is. But on another perspective on this, and it's really important that we recognize this. Actually, I'll come to that in a second. We also have to acknowledge that social sciences, academia, and religion all emphasize that baby, sex, marriage, all of this is one. It's not separated. You can't ditch one part of it. Every civilization in the history of the world has had some form of marriage. And 2021 isn't suddenly the year that it's no longer relevant. And no, as one of my college fellow classmates said, well, you see, the human person has evolved. People have evolved. They just understand today that they no longer need marriage because people have evolved. Yes, as someone I went to college with said that, I was like pounding my head against my hand as I heard this. But here's the problem. This is actually one of the big pieces to this, and this is why friendship matters. There's a lot of confusion today about how to have an intimate friendship. People think that intimacy is only what occurs, what is meant to occur between a man and a woman that creates new life. People are confused today about what it means to be close without having physical contact that's for one man and one woman. You see, this is part of the problem of having too few children, of having too few siblings, of having too few cousins. We've lost this understanding of how to love one another, respect one another, to have intimate bonds and friendships and love for one another. This is all so important that we understand and not confuse people. And so this is where having good friendships, being there for one another, being selfless is so important. And understanding that this total gift that we're desiring to give to one another, these strong commitments and bonds we're meant to make, if we get it right with God, if we give ourselves to God, if we receive Him completely in the sacrament of communion, in the sacrament of reconciliation, it's going to heal some of this confusion about the giving and receiving of who I am and how I'm meant to give myself to someone else. It's important that you and I are able to address this in this new realm of trending platonic relationships. Join me tomorrow. We're going to be discussing a couple challenging questions surrounding fertility, C-sections, and how the medical industry is impacting women and their lives.